Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the market didn't do a very good job of buying soybean acres, did it?
No, it didn't. That data collection period of February 24th to March 16th, along with the Illinois number being 99% on corn planted acres, really turned the tide for me and my estimates, because I was on the low end on corn and on the medium, I would say the medium end on beans. The only thing that I did decent on was the wheat, but the corn and bean acreage shift did not take place given the fact that we did not see anything other than I would rate a static report, a report that is about a month old right now.
And yet we are trading it, and what does it mean for the market going forward?
Right now it means this. The question comes out, does a rising tide lift all boats, Dave? In other words, do the beans and the wheat, do they help lead the corn higher and help the corn out? And so far, yes, that's the answer we're getting right now. It'll be a lot more meaningful at the close today, though, where we have a weekly close, a monthly close, and an end-of-the-quarter close. So some of the longer-term charts that have been beat up throughout the past 2 weeks, and especially some of the commodity index charts that are grain-related, have been beat up. They can come back and heal up by today's close. That would indicate to me that if the beans want to continue to go higher, and I'm not going to fight the trend, if we close above 1339.5 on November beans today, that was Monday's high, then I have to be looking forward to the 1380 to 1395 level, so unlimited risk positions out of the pool, in other words, and get in touch with the idea that this market could go higher and embrace it from a standpoint of your average price going up. Even if you take a paper loss, your hedge side is getting better. But you had the wheat acres, you had the corn stocks, and now you've got the bean-corn ratio starting to work in your favor to where all three of the commodities are going higher.
Which begs the question, have we put in a low on the corn?
I can't say that yet, Dave. I'm not willing to say that. I would like to say yes, because we have less competition from the wheat, but I'm going to say the next 2 to 3 days will mean a lot more to me, because not only do we have to wait for the charts, but we also have to wait to see what the weather comes in the first 2 weeks of April. If you notice USDA's numbers, they're 1.17 million more acres in North Dakota, 600,000 more acres in Minnesota, 300,000 more in South Dakota. You've got a lot, 400,000 acres more in Ohio. You've got a lot more acreage increases than you do in the perimeter, so to speak, the perimeter corn belt, than you do in the heart and soul of the major corn belt, excluding Iowa, which came in with a big increase of 500,000 acres. But because of that, if we turn cooler and wetter, I think the game is off in terms of the idea that you're going to get big, big, big pushes in corn planting for the first 2 weeks in April to make these acreage numbers of almost 96 million a reality.
Well, we already know the 10-day forecast is cooler. Yes?
Yes. The question is, will the producers put it in the ground with the frost threat or not? Mm-hmm. That's why I would like to think that the wheat market and the weather would help us put a low in the corn, but I'm going to stand pat here for the next 5 to 6 days.
Meanwhile, soybeans soaring. November beans were as high as 1366 today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, what do hedgers do about it?
Well, I think, again, you go above 1339.5. That was a major high from Monday, and then the market sold off all the way into today's report, tested a support line, a very key trend line support, and also some crucial moving average supports like the 20- and 25-day moving averages. The trade now is contending with the idea that if you only have 73.9 million planted acres using a 43.9 USDA ag forum yield and a total demand of about 3.33 billion, again from USDA's ag forum, you're only talking about a 135 carryover. You're talking about a 4% stocks to use ratio domestically, and then you have the overhang of the South American crops still out there. So this acreage number reinvigorated the bulls, reinvigorated the need for more acres. The only thing I would say is that, again, at the top of our conversation, I called this a static report, because at the end of February, if you took $13 Nove beans, these corn would have been at $5.78. You take $13 Nove beans now, the these corn is at $5.20. I do think we bought some bean acres. A lot of people have said to me in the last 2 weeks, yep, nitrogen is on the late spring being like an early summer has brought in the acres. They're primed and ready to go into corn. I can't argue that, but I still think we've picked up some extra bean acres. So that's where I want to give the market a chance to hit that 1380 to 1395 level, but I'll be back on the hedge side on the beans if I do see that.
So any hiccup in planting weather in South America in the next season, and we would really be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it goes back to. You and I have talked about this several occasions. This was a big part of the winter seminar, is that I knew going into the market, and I think I talked about this at the Beef House, I knew going into the market this year that a big hiccup, as you would say, from a seller of beans because of the South American weather rally was going to be the acreage report. Did USDA come out and rob Peter to pay Paul? Did they give us big corn acres, but they took it away from spring wheat and soybeans and cotton? Yes, they did. We didn't get all those big acreage increases across the board. I think that's one of the reasons why we're rallying across the board today. I hope it stays that way, because as the beans go up, the corn gets drug up with it. That improves my gross revenue on the corn as well. But the point still remains is that USDA came with that smaller bean acreage number at the expense to get that big corn acreage number. So now my next big wave of where I could go higher would be the August-September time period. So between now and the first part of June, I want to be back on the hedge side of the beans, ready and prepared to defend those hedges in August-Sep.
What else are you thinking about this morning?
Well, we've got the quarterly hogs and pigs report coming out, Dave, and it's going to be one of the more important ones, because like the corn, the hogs have shed a lot of premium. The hog producers are in a tough spot right now with the hogs going down and the meal going straight up. And so one of these things that may happen here in the summertime is if we do see a grain rally and the meat consumption and the demand doesn't come around because of high gas prices and pink slime, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be under the negative and cutting in the red for most of the summer, and that may bring in some liquidation. So hogs and pigs are on my mind as well today.
Did the quarterly grain stocks report change your outlook at all?
Well, it brought the corn spread back. It brought the bull spread back, and it gave the market the chance to believe that we haven't gotten it in the ground yet. I think that's a big indicator here. We're back to 98 cents on the July D's corn spread. That really helps the December contract. If you go over a dollar on the July D's corn spread, that gives more support, along with the beans, along with the wheat being less competition for corn, that the new crop corn doesn't have to go down any lower than it did this week.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.